first topic this week is on women facing sexual harassment due to recent events such as the Me Too movement on social media and Fratères here in Paris. I'm joined by Hannah, a fourth-year literary studies and creative arts student, who will be sharing a written piece related to this issue, as well as a recommendation of her favorite book or author at the end of the podcast, which will be the future format of other podcasts. So, grab yourself a cup of tea or coffee and enjoy. Hey, Hannah.
Hello.
Thanks for coming by today.
Thanks for having me.
So I understand you, like many other women, have had personal experiences with sexual harassment and have written a piece for us today. But before we get into that, what is your opinion on the recent events that have unfolded the past few months?
I think the recent events, especially with the Me Too movement, have really made public the issue and has informed like more people that sexual assault is an enormous issue and also one that should be acknowledged and solved because it affects so many women so many times in their lives. And there are many men who have put women in danger but aren't even necessarily aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I think the Me Too movement is kind of taking that veil off and so people can really see the sexual violence that is going on in mm-hmm. in everyday society.
Mm-hmm. Any advice you'd give to anyone listening out there?
I would say don't keep it all bottled in with yourself. Always talk to someone about it, someone you trust and who can preferably help you through that. But also, because it can be very scary, but don't let that make you afraid to go out and truly live your life. Like, don't make it not limit your confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some good advice. All right, so whenever you're ready, you know, go ahead and introduce your piece and read it to us.
So this is a letter that I wrote in 2013 at midnight. And it was after an event that happened like a year ago, and like I said, like I kept it inside of myself for so long, and then so one night I just had to let it all out mm-hmm. as a form of like catharsis, and because it was just too big to keep it inside of me, so I wrote this piece, and it's titled July 5th, 2013. Dear boy, in late January of last year, you asked me to write you a poem about my undying love for you. I agreed but was nonetheless worried because I am not a good writer and cringe at the thought of disappointing you. Truth is, I never put pen to paper for you until now. Instead, words rambled through my head during empty nights, aligning themselves into decent poems forgotten the morning after. And finally, tonight, after too many tears and excruciating headaches, I succumbed to the realization that there was nothing for me to explain to you, especially not my love, because I had love confused with despair. I realized that you do not care for me, that if I shared with you stories I hadn't shared with anyone else, you would walk around with them carelessly tucked into the pockets of your wool coat, grabbing at my weaknesses and gearing my insanity into drive. That January of last year, you asked me about having sex with you, and I remember being indecisive about the subject. But despite my hesitation, I accepted your offer the first time you asked. The next day, whilst tearing photos off my bedroom wall, I relived flashbacks of an incident that occurred when I was a child, between the strands of grass in my backyard, the weight of the night sky, and a man's body pressing into my back. I've been asked about what happened that night by the therapists, psychologists, and nurses that I've come to encounter. They asked because they want to diagnose what triggered my stubborn desire for self-destruction. But the incident happened so long ago that I didn't see how it affected me today. And in my psyche's attempt to protect that traumatized child inside of me, I was no longer certain if it had happened. That is why I broke down that winter and finally admitted that no, I could never have sex with a man because I'm genuinely terrified of sexual activity. You accepted my response. Then, suddenly, you became persistent about the matter. And because I thought I loved you so and wanted to be your favorite girl, I once again accepted your offer. And I swear to you that on March 16, 2012, the last time I saw you, you took off my shirt and gently rubbed your hands across my skin in a way that made me love you even more. And then you laid me on my bed and removed your pants, and as childish as it sounds, I became so very afraid of you because I knew what was going to happen next. because I had already lived that exact scene before and its weight had crushed me. The following year, out of the blue, you asked me how I was doing. I only received the message a couple days later after I had been released from the hospital. I must admit, you took me by surprise and pushed me headfirst back into the whirlpool of accidents and regrets, of words unsaid and thoughts unexplained. I did not know what to answer, or if I even should answer at all, and instead ignore you as I swore I'd do that New Year's Eve. I spent 3 full days contemplating which words to use. In truth, I wanted you to be worried about me, and so I began to collect the details of my story as a suicidal anorectic who had to spend 6 months in the hospital only to be released with the same self-hatred as when she was admitted. But my mind brought me back to the last time we saw each other. Alone in my mother's house, you lying beside me on my bed, both naked, the sheets tainted with a crime I did not yet comprehend, and whose name I am unable to speak to this day because every syllable is mired in the red-hot blood that dripped in painful streaks down my thighs. I thought of that last time we were face-to-face because that was when I made you promise to never leave me. Only 37 minutes later did you walk out the door. All there was left for me to do was to sit on the cold edge of my bathtub and wipe away the red smears from my thighs. And in my naivety, the only pain I felt came from the fact that you didn't kiss me goodbye. Burn in hell, Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Even though it was personal, it still was very relatable. There was definitely some things that stood out that I felt as well through my own experiences, especially the part where you mentioned self-destruction. I really do agree that when you deal with something like this, if you keep it up inside, if you don't handle it, you can self-destruct in certain ways and habits, such as, you know, drugs or alcohol, or you're trying to find a way to escape and you don't even realize the root of the issue. So
exactly. And also that you can, like, because I wrote this and it was like really painful to write it, but towards the end when I was done with it, I felt confident in myself. Like, mm-hmm. I was a stronger person because I finally, like, moved on from him, mm-hmm. and knew that he was a terrible person and that I'm better than him, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So even though it's painful, you can gain a lot of strength from it.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, this was your catharsis, and I feel like any victim, they need to let it out. They need to have that catharsis. Otherwise, you're going to keep that toxic experience inside. Yeah, really nice. So, any recommendations, author, or books that you have before we finish this podcast?
Yes, I would recommend reading I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou, because it deals with, because Maya Angelou herself was sexually abused when she was a child, and when the man was brought into court, he was later killed, and she thought that because she said something that he died, so she stopped speaking for a while, and I thought that was really, really powerful and also really comforting too, because I feel a lot of women feel that way, that once you're sexually abused, you try to be less yourself because you're taught that anything that you do may be sexual, and so you try to repress yourself, and so yeah, I would recommend reading that book to find comfort and also strength.
Nice. Yeah, I think, you know, this whole overall event, it's really important to have, and I feel like the gravity of it is very serious because it affects the person. Like you said, there's destruction, there's also, you can't enjoy future, like, intimate experiences. If there's a person you actually truly love, like, they've held on to such a traumatic experience that they can't open up themselves to that person anymore. So, you know, hopefully anyone who's listening today, this can help you and you can get through it. There's one event coming up. It is a Me Too conference happening on February 9th, hosted by our own AUP professor, Lisa Lincoln. You must sign up 2 days in advance, but it'd be great if you guys could show up. This is the end of the podcast, and you guys have a nice day. See you.